Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that is gathered in. And we do welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we do pray that the Lord will richly bless us and the Lord will be with us as we're found in his house today. Those that are visiting, we do give you a very special welcome. And may the Lord bless you as you're with us today. Let me go through the announcements, and we do leave them before you, and we remind you of the evening service at 7 p.m. and we also of course remind you of the season of prayer at 6:30. It'd be good to see each and every one gathered again to the house of God tonight to come and to worship the Lord, and even to see God's people gathering to pray and to commit even the service unto the Lord beforehand. We come into the chapter 19 of the book of Acts, and we want to look at the topic this evening, the necessity of the Holy Spirit, the necessity of the Holy Spirit. So we do invite and encourage you to come back again tonight to God's house. Monday evening at 7 p.m. will be the continuation of our children's meeting here in the church, and we certainly do commend that work to you for your prayers, and we do look to the Lord for his continued blessing upon that work amongst the children. This Wednesday evening will be a deputation meeting here in the church at 8 p.m. on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. And the Reverend Julian Patterson, the minister of our Ballymagurney, congregation will be here on their behalf, and he'll be bringing us up to date on that work of Let the Bible Speak. Now, we haven't had, as you know, too many deputations this autumn term. I think this could actually be the first one. And we've this one this week, and then we've one more before Christmas in the month of December. And thankfully, already there are a number of our missionaries are booked to come home next year, and of course with the COVID so many of the furloughs had to be postponed, but we are thankful that coming up more of our missionaries are able to get home for the rest period and even to report on the work that they're doing. Then the Friday night, this Friday at 8 p.m. will be the Youth Fellowship once again for the young people. It was good to see each one that was gathered out last Friday, and we look forward to seeing you again this Friday at 8 p.m. as we come to the topic of studying and reading the Bible, studying the scriptures, and reading the Bible for yourselves. And then Saturday night, on behalf of our youth council, there is a bi-monthly youth Bible study, and this month it's being held in the Martyrs Memorial at 7:30. And young people, you're invited to go along and to that and study the Word of God along with other young people, and the president of the youth council, the Reverend Paul Foster, will be in charge of that Bible study. Then next Sunday, the services at the normal times, Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and then the services 11:30 and 7 p.m. And do of course remember the seasons of prayer before both services. I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct both of those meetings. And then a provisional date for the members of committee and session, Tuesday the 30th of November for a committee and session meeting. Tuesday the 30th of November. Brethren, if you check your diaries just then, come back to me if there's any need for change on that date, please. Then once again, we do remind you of, first of all, this book by the Reverend Alan Cairns is a daily devotional one priced at £15. This is the last day of announcements for it. Now, we only have 5 of these books left. They're selling really, really well. And so if you'd like a copy, as I say, there's 5 left, please put your name down on the sheet in the front porch. We have 1 calendar left. They're going really well. We've only 1 of these calendars left. So again, whoever gets their name down first wins the prize. And the prize is you pay £3.50 and you get a calendar. So we do leave those before you. Those lists are both in the front porch, and we have the supply here in the pulpit. And just one final announcement. If I could have a minute of the time of the children's meeting, workers, please, immediately after the morning service, just need a minute of your time. 595, we're going to commence our worship with this morning. 595, the page is 416. The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. And certainly, these words tie in with our subject for today as we return to our studies on the royalty of heaven. We're coming to the last of the no mores in the book of Revelation, no more night. And whenever you think of these words of the opening verse, certainly they tie in very well. The day of brightness is coming. What a day that will be. 595, please. stand as we sing. To the Lord in prayer at this stage. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before thee. And Lord, we do thank thee for the Lamb. We do rejoice that the Lamb will receive all of the glory. We think of that song even now in heaven, that song which the Apostle John heard in that revelation. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We thank and praise thee for that song. And we do rejoice that the Lamb is in the midst. The one who has been slain from the foundation of the world. We thank and praise you that that will be the song for all eternity, that all eyes will be upon the Lamb, all glory will be his, all rejoicing will be in him. And Father, we look forward to that day. Oh, what a day that will be when we see our Saviour face to face. Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to gather to thy house once again. We thank thee for this place that we can gather together to meet. We thank thee, Lord, that we have this roof over our heads. We thank thee that we have thy precious word in our hands. We do rejoice that this is the living word of God. We're coming to study a living book and we're coming to worship a living Saviour. And Father, we rejoice in this. We rejoice that we're not in a dead religion. We rejoice, O God, that we're not in a life with no hope, but rather we have hope today. We have hope in Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we do pray for thy blessing to be upon us in this house today. We do pray, O God, that thy presence will be in the midst of us all. We pray, O God, that thou wilt presence thyself with us, not only in this house for this season, but even throughout the day, that we will know the presence of God in our homes, that we will know the presence of God in this house again tonight, that we will know, Lord, that thou art with us, and that thou wilt never forsake us. Lord, remember each one that is here before us. We thank thee for them. We thank thee, O God, for thy hand of mercy upon us another week. We thank thee for watching over us and for keeping us all safe. We thank thee, O God, for the goodness and the mercy of God that has followed us once again. We do rejoice in thy mercy and in thy grace towards us. We rejoice, O Lord, that thou hast not rewarded us according to our iniquities, but rather thou hast showed us grace. Father, we praise thee for thy grace. We praise thee for that gift of God. And Lord, we do rejoice, Lord, in saving grace. We rejoice in sanctifying grace. And Lord, we think of sustaining grace and how, O Lord, that thou dost keep us and watch over us. Thou dost give us grace upon grace for our lives. We thank and praise thee for it all. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt continue to be with us. Continue, O God, to keep our eyes upon thee. Enable us by thy Spirit to fix our eyes upon thee, to take our eyes off the world, and may we see thy glory, and may we see thy grace. Lord, remember those in the congregation who need thee especially at this time. Father, we bring them afresh before thee. Watch over those that are sick. Lord, touch them at the very point of their need. We think of those that are carrying burdens even to this house with them today. Concerns for loved ones. Concerns, O God, for health. Lord, we pray thee that thou wilt, O God, come and have thy loving arms around them. And may they know that the loving arms of God are protecting them and holding them up. Lord, bless us, we pray thee. Lord, bless the work of this church. Bless the work of this church and this community. Oh, that this will be a shining light in a darkened world. Lord, that men and women will turn even to this house, will be drawn by the Spirit of God to this house, to hear words whereby they can be saved. Remember the children of this church. Remember, O God, those that come to the Sabbath school. We thank thee for them. Bless thy servants who minister to them. And in turn, may they be a blessing to the children. May they be those signposts, O God, to point those little ones to thee for salvation. Remember our children's meeting as well. We thank thee for the blessings in it. We thank thee, O God, for every child. We thank thee, O God, for their attendance and their faithfulness. And Lord, even for that stillness in the meetings as the children listen to the stories week by week. Oh, that thou wilt speak to those little ones. Oh, that thou wilt save them young in life. And even through the children, that thou wilt bring their families to saving grace. Lord, remember us in these days. Remember our land. O Father, pour out thy Spirit upon it. Work, we ask thee in these days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read from the Psalms once again this morning, continuing as we do through the Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we commence this week at the verse 73. And we'll read the next three sections. Psalm 119, the verse 73. We'll cover the sections Yod, Kath, and Lamed. Yod, Kath, and Lamed. Psalm 119, the verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful, they persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Thou had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will not forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his infallible truth. 610, we want to sing next together before we come to the preaching of God's word. The hymn 610, the page is 422. I am waiting for the dawning of the bright and blessed day when the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away. 610, we'll stand again as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Let's open our Bibles in the book of Revelation, and once again, to the chapter 21. The book of Revelation, the chapter 21. We come this morning to really the final message in regards to the peace of heaven, and also the final message of the royalty of heaven. And then next week, God willing, just want to do one message as we have considered hell and as we have considered heaven. And really that is the future. I want to bring one message in regards to preparation for the future. And that will be the conclusion then of both of these many studies. Revelation 21, I want to read just three verses, the verse 23 of Revelation 21. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And in the verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And in chapter 22, and the verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. As I said, just the fourth and the final part in regards to the peace of heaven. Let's have a moment's prayer as we ask the Lord even for his help as we come to his word this morning. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. And O God, afresh we're conscious of our need. We're conscious that we need that speaking voice of God. And Lord, we do pray that thou will come and minister to my heart even now. And Lord, that thou will prepare every heart to receive thy word. Unstop ears, open hearts, open minds this day to receive thy word, to meditate upon it, and yea, to hide it deep in our hearts. O God, thou knowest all that are before us. Thou knowest all that are listening online, and thou knowest those that will listen at a later time. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come, and in these days, that men and women will prepare and will make that sure preparation to be with thee in heaven. Come and bless us now, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Over these weeks, as we have considered these two eternal destinations, either hell or heaven, we have sought to examine and explore what these two places are really like. The desire has been there to paint the pictures as best as we can, to show us as much as we can from Scripture as to exactly what these two eternal destinations will be like. And I fully admit the words of man can only go so far. We can only go so far in telling off the horrors of hell. And we can only go so far in telling you of the splendors of heaven. Because I have not seen nor ear have heard. And yea, we can say with the words of the Queen of Sheba, the half have not been told in regards to either place. But I trust that one thing over these weeks has been clear. I trust that you have seen and you all do appreciate the great contrast that there is between hell and heaven. I don't believe anyone who knows anything about these two eternal destinations could ever say to us, as they are revealed in Scripture, could ever turn and say, well, I can see similarities between the two. I don't believe anyone could ever say that honestly from their heart after examining Scripture could say, well, I can see hell is pretty similar to heaven because there are no similarities. There is nothing that you could say of heaven that you can say, well, I could find that in hell. One verse which proves the difference very clearly is the words of Abraham. Luke 16 and the verse 25. Whenever the rich man is there in hell and he lifts up his eyes and he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he's speaking to the rich man down in hell and he says to him, now, speaking of Lazarus, he is comforted, but thou art tormented. Now Lazarus is in heaven and he's enjoying that eternal rest. He's enjoying that eternal peace. He's enjoying that eternal comfort. And my, do you see the difference? The rich man there in hell, he has that pain. He has that suffering. He has that agony upon body, upon mind, and upon soul for all eternity. Both places are real. Both experiences are real. There is horror in hell. And there is harmony in heaven. There is pain in hell, but there is peace in heaven. We come again, as I said, to consider this peace of heaven. We come to the final no more that is recorded for us in the book of Revelation. This particular no more, as I've read to you this morning, the three different verses bring it to us. And on each occasion, as you read those three verses, and it speaks about the no more need for the sun, the moon, and the stars, it speaks about the light that is there in heaven. Each time, more and more description and more detail is added to it to paint us a fuller picture of why it is important, of what we can look forward to even enjoying when we get there. You know, each of those details ought to bring us more joy and more comfort. You think of how wonderful heaven will be, child of God. You think of that majestic city with its beautiful foundation and its walls. You think of those beautiful gates of pearl. You think of those streets of gold, that place where no more sea. That place where there's no more death. That place where there's no more sorrow or sickness. That place where tears are banned and the curse is removed. That place where the believer is going. Child of God, you're going there one day. That's the place you're looking forward to and I'm looking forward to. That place which we will call home forever. That place where Christ is. Christ is there. My, that's the greatest detail, that's the greatest blessing, that's the greatest aspect of hell, of heaven, is the fact Christ will be there. And his desire is for his people to be with him. That never ceases to amaze me. The splendor of heaven, with all of the heavenly host of angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, that majestic song that rises and rises, and all of the honor, the praise, and the glory. And yet the Son of God desires you and me to join him. He said in John 14, verse 13, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In other words, I'm going there to prepare. I'm putting effort in because why? I want you with me. You see the grace in that. You see the wonder of that. Mankind who has fallen, mankind who is born in sin, mankind who was his enemy, and yet out of mankind God saves. God lifts us out of that miry clay. God sets our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. God establishes our going. God puts a new song in our mouth. God changes us by his Spirit and renews us and invigorates us and sanctifies us. Why? So we can join him. Because he wants us. In heaven we will enjoy his presence. His power and his peace. So we come to the final no more this morning. Brings us peace in heaven. The no more night. Why is that important? What is so special about having no more night? Well, for some people it means they won't have to sleep. Now, of course, some of us love our beds and love our sleep. Some people don't like sleeping. I'm not going to look at anyone, but I know one very, very well. He just doesn't like to stay in bed. I'm really not looking down because he knows exactly who I'm talking about. But some people like to sleep. Some people don't like to sleep. What's so special about no more night? Four things I want to leave with you. Night speaks of darkness. Night speaks of darkness. You look at the verse 5 of chapter 22. It says, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. If I went round everyone in this building this morning And I asked you individually, describe, give me one characteristic, one description of what night means to you. Tell me, if you were to describe, how would you describe night? The very first thing, and I guarantee you, almost everyone immediately would say, well, night, it's dark. It's dark. Of course, that's scriptural. Because that's exactly what night speaks of in Scripture. It speaks of darkness. You go to the very first day of this earth's existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 5, God called the light day. The darkness he called night. Night is darkness. Darkness is night. Psalm 104, verse 20, thou makest darkness, and it is night. Night is the time of darkness. Night is the time when the light of the sun has been removed. Night is the time whenever we cannot see. Night is the time when the darkness is all around us. If we take away all of the artificial lighting, if we turn off all of the lights, whether it be in the home or whether it be out in the street, and you take all of those things away, what do you have? Darkness. Darkness is one of the greatest restrictions to you. You take away all light, as I said, whether it be natural or artificial, it leaves you greatly restricted, doesn't it? Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you have to get up out of bed and the room is completely dark. You'll not move as quickly as you do during the daytime. Yes, it's not like the whole room is changed around, it's all turned around. The room's exactly the same as it always is. The wardrobe's where it always is. The door's where it always is. But I guarantee this, you get up in the middle of the night in complete darkness, you'll move slower. You'll be a lot more cautious. You'll be worried, what am I going to walk into? How many steps is it to the door? Or how many steps is it to the wardrobe? And making sure, and you'll have your hand out in front of you, or whatever the case may be, just to ensure I don't hit anything. Why? Because darkness is restrictive. It restricts your eyesight. It restricts your movement. You can't enjoy the beauty that's around you as you do during the day. The beauty of autumn, the beautiful colors we see in the trees, the beauty of spring with all of the leaves growing and all of the flowers blossoming, all of the lambs jumping and all of the things, the beauty of summer with the brightness and the height of the sun and all of those different pictures. Darkness, you can't see any of it. Can you imagine heaven if it was dark? A beautiful, majestic city. Imagine you couldn't see anything. Worse than that, imagine you couldn't see your Savior. Imagine if hell or if heaven was so dark you couldn't see Christ. The one whom we're all looking forward to seeing, the one whom all praise is rendered to, the one in whom all gather around, the lambs in the midst. Imagine it was dark. And for all eternity, you never seen your Savior. Imagine for all eternity, you spent wondering, is Christ here? Is Christ in heaven? Imagine the darkness was so deep and so thick around you that you absolutely had no idea if you even were with anyone or if Christ was there with you. But thank God in heaven, there's no more night. There's no darkness. In heaven, you will see your Savior. As it tells us in verse 5, says there's no need of the candle, neither of the light, for the Lord God giveth them light. The Lamb, as it tells us in verse 23, the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 4 of chapter 22, what does it say? They shall see his face. Why? Because there's light. Night speaks of darkness. Then secondly, the verse 25 of chapter 21, night speaks of danger. Night speaks of danger. Look at the verse 25 with me. It says, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There's no need, those great gates of pearl, there's no need to ever close them. There's no need to ever put the bar across or to put the key in and turn it and lock it. There's no need. Why? Because there's no night. There's no danger in heaven. You think of the many attacks and the dangerous circumstances that people find themselves in at night. You think of how many times people have been fearful. Maybe they finish their job late at night and they're having to walk home. I think of the testimony of many and even family members, and yet, and how during the Troubles they used to say that whenever they finished that late shift and they're having to walk back to their accommodation or walk back to the house, the fear was always there of their loved ones. I hope they get here okay. I hate them being out late at night. You don't know who's about. You don't know what's going on. Why? Because the danger's at the night time. The psalmist speaks of this. Psalm 91, the verses 5 and 6, he says, "The terrors by night, the pestilence that walketh in the darkness." You go through scriptures and you see how many awful deeds and the dangerous situations that people found themselves in when it came to morning. Why? Because the enemy had come in the darkness. I think of that time whenever David, before he was king, Saul's still upon the throne and is at home with his wife Michal. And there the next morning he finds and he knows the soldiers have come. Why? Saul sent them in the night time. Saul sent them under the cover of darkness to surround his house so that whenever he got up in the morning that they could come and take him. I think as well in Elisha's day, the king of Syria, when he came against the Israelites. 2 Kings 6, verse 14, it tells us, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night, and they compassed the city." I think of our Savior there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you think of the betrayal, you think of the arrest of Christ. All of it took place at night. Christ was not betrayed in the daytime, Christ was betrayed in the night. After the Last Supper, what did the Lord say? "That that thou doest, do quickly." And Judas immediately got up from the table, and he left. He went to the high priests. And he gathered together that army. He gathered together that host of men. And there, what happened? They came to the Garden of Gethsemane at night. And they arrested Christ. And what did Christ say? Luke 22, the verse 53. He says to them, "When I was daily with you in the temple, and you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." You think of all of the followers, all of those that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those that gathered around Christ to hear him preach, to hear him teach, those that loved him because of the miracles he did. And yet the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, never came in daytime. But they came with the power of darkness. Oh, the danger that night brings. The wickedness that is active in those hours of night. All of the deeds that have been done down through history, done at the night time. Men and women, even during the times of the Reformation and afterwards, whenever they were brought in and they were hounded out of their homes under the cover of darkness. Night means danger. But in heaven there is no danger. In heaven you'll never lock your door of your house, your mansion. Many people lock their doors every single night. I do. Before I ever go to bed, every single night, you go around, you check the back door, you check the front door, you make sure they're locked. Why? You don't want anyone coming in at night, do you? You'll never lock your door in heaven. You'll never be concerned, are the gates barred? You'll never be wondering, is there any sentry guards up in the walls patrolling around, making sure that we're safe. No, there's no darkness. There's no danger. Thirdly, not only does night speak of darkness, speak of danger, but the verse 23, darkness speaks of depravity, or night speaks of depravity. It says there in the verse 23, "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." And the glory of God fills heaven. The majesty of God, the brightness of God, the holiness of God fills heaven. There is no place, there is no area for depravity to come in. As I mentioned, wickedness and evil abound through the night hours. There are those who never want the community to see them committing their acts of evil, and so they use the cover of darkness. And Job speaks about this in Job 24. He says in verse 14, the murderer rising with the light. That means before the sun has risen. I think of those words, it's always darkest before the dawn. The darkest period of the nights, whenever the worst happens. Job said in that verse 14, he says, the murderer rising with the light, he killeth the poor and the needy, and in the night is as a thief. Verse 15, the eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. Verse 16, in the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. Verse 17, for the morning is to them, even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. You think of all of those dastardly acts, all of those wickedness. When are they looking for? They're looking for the darkness. They're saying, I'll commit my adultery, I'll commit my theft, I'll commit my murder, I'll do all of these wickedness when? When it's dark, when it's night. Nighttime darkness is the habitation of depravity. Is it any wonder Christ declared men love darkness rather than light? Why? Because their deeds are evil. But in heaven, there is no darkness. There is no sin. All sin has been cast into the lake of fire. The devil is gone. That old serpent. False prophets gone. Each and every one that lived their lives in sin are all gone. In heaven there's only light. There's no space or area given for any depravity. Not one bit. And so, what a reminder that is to us all. That if we keep sin in our heart, if we refuse to bow the knee to the Lord, to confess our sin and to turn from our sin, that means there's no place for us. You live your life in sin. You live your life of depravity. There's no place for you in glory. In glory, there's no night. There's no depravity. There's no danger for you, child of God. There's no stress. There's no concern. There's no fear. There's no harm will ever come to you. There's no hurt. There's only peace. One final thing I think of whenever I think of those wonderful words, there's no more night. I think of daytime. Daytime brings delight. Daytime brings delight. The verse 23 again, it says, the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You look at the end of verse 5 as well of chapter 22. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord takes Peter, James, and John up into that high mountain. He reveals himself to them. It's as if his humanity is as if it's peeled back and the glory shines forth. And that brightness just fills that whole mount. And there's Peter, James, and John. And they're surveying, they're looking upon this great brightness, this great glory. What does Peter say? Lord, it's good to be here. It's good to be here. Now, yes, he does go on in his hastiness to say about building three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But I think of those words whenever he surveyed Christ in all of his glory and the brightness shining forth, his first words that came out of his mouth, Lord, it's good to be here. See, in heaven, you'll be saying, Lord, it's great to be here. You're sitting there in his presence with all of his glory. And the brightness is shining forth, brighter than the noonday sun, as Paul described it in his testimony when God came down and spoke to him in Damascus Road. A brightness greater than any candle or any bulb or anything can ever be manufactured in this world. The brightness of Christ shining forth. And for all eternity, you reign with him. You worship him. And it'll be great to be there. Never a stress. Never a concern. You'll have that joy, that unspeakable joy. You'll have that peace that passeth all understanding. You know, there are times in this world we think ourselves to be content. We think we're happy. Eventually, though, depends, doesn't matter how long you think yourself to be happy, eventually something's going to niggle in your head. Something's going to just upset the wee apple cart just a wee bit. Whether it be something going on in the world or something that someone in your family's done. And that joy, that peace can be tainted just ever so slightly. But in heaven, it's just unspeakable, unmatchable joy and peace forever. My, what a place heaven will be. No night, no darkness, no danger, no depravity, only delight. Are you going? Are you going to heaven? Can you say this morning to me, I am going to heaven. I'm assured of it as if I'm already there. Have you been to the cross? That place where darkness came. Darkness so great. Not one individual could move a muscle or move a step because of the darkness that came down around the cross of Christ. That place where danger came. So much so that all of the disciples were moved away and all of the women stood afar off. That place where depravity came. Many bulls of Bashan, dogs, compassed Christ, nailed him to a tree, drove a spear through his side, parted his garments and cast lots, cast it in his teeth, all of the abuse. Have you been to that place? Have you been to Jesus? See, if you want to enjoy the peace of heaven, there's only one way. It's through Christ. To get to heaven, there's only one marker, as it were, in the map detail and the sat-nav detail. One place to go. Go to the cross. then go home. You don't go to the cross. You don't see Christ. You miss Christ. You miss heaven. And just as it was for the rich man, you'll be in torment. Unspeakable horrors in hell forever. My friend, in the day of grace in which we live, will you not come to Christ? Come and be saved. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We do thank and praise Thee, O God, for what Thou hast revealed to us in Scripture. We thank Thee for the warnings that Thou hast given us in relation to hell. We thank Thee for the promises that Thou hast given us in relation to heaven. Lord, we pray for each one that is here and each one that has listened to Thy word. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt search out the heart. That Thou, O God, wilt reveal man unto themselves. If there be one before us out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, that today, that they will put their faith and trust in Thee. Lord, come and minister to hearts even now as the voice of man grows silent. Speak on, I pray Thee. Bring us again this night to Thy house. Bring others with us, O God. And glorify Thy Son in our midst. In Jesus' name.